Okay, good morning everybody. Here we are, we've arrived at Parshas Pinchas. So we know that the Parsha opens with the episode, concluding, let's say, the episode of Pinchas with the Nasi and Amitra, Zimri ben Salu. And we know at the end of last week's Parsha, Pinchas killed Zimri due to him being over an Avera, having a relationship with a non-Jewish woman. And then at the beginning of this week's parsha, we're told about the reward of Pinchas. Look at the couple of Sukkineh, Lachain, and Moy. Henini, Noit, and Moy, and Briti, Shalom. And for all gives him this Brit, Shalom. And then it's also Gimel who describes more. Vahoyt, Allah, and Zari, Acharov, Brit, Kuhuna, Oyo. This Brit that I'm giving him will be for him, and his children after him, a Brit Kahuna Oyma, a Brit of eternal Kahuna.
Say Brit is a contract.
A contract, an agreement. So a Kutcher Prophet with this agreement gave Pinchas the status of Kahuna. So let's have a little look in Rashi, in the Pirush of Rashi, I think is the most well known. Brit Kahuna Oyma. So Rashi wants to understand why this Pinchas has to be given over here. The presence of Kahuna. He was from the family of Kahuna. So surely it was a Kohen already. The institution of Kahuna has already begun. Aaron is a Bono, and Pinchas is the grandson of Aaron HaKohen. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. So why wasn't he a Kohen yet? So says Rashi, She'afati shekvar nitma Kahuna lezari shel Aaron. Although the Kahuna has already been given to the family of Aaron HaKohen, when the Kohuna was originally given, it was given to Aaron and to his children, who were anointed at that same point in time. Aaron's four children, Nadav, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, his four sons, they became Kohanim, and it passed on. The Kohuna then passed on to anybody who was born from that point in time. So if any of Aaron's children then had children, Eleazar and Ithamar had children, so their children became Kohanim. Pinchas was already born at that time, and he was not anointed. He did not become a Kohen until this point in time. Why was he not anointed? That's a shiny bit of important to talk about. I don't remember offhand what they say, but I remember seeing the question asked. Why indeed did they limit the anointing to only those, that small group of people? Oh, that's exactly what we're going to look at. Exactly that point, the sort of side angle of that. So he did not become a Kohen until this point in time. The Chesed of the Tzavachim and Timothy says Rashi, this is written in the Gemara of the Tzavachim. Pinchas ad shehorgu Zimri. Pinchas did not become a Kohen until after he killed Zimri. I think this is quite a well-known fact. Pinchas didn't become a Kohen until this point in time. What I think is not so well-known is that in fact Rashi it brings the most simple pirush, the pasuk pshat, but in fact, it is a machloket in Chazal. Not everybody agrees with this opinion, and we're going to see that some hold differently. Some hold that Pinchas was already a Kohen. Didn't only become a Kohen then. In fact, some are of the opinion that he was already a Kohen before that. So let's have a little look in the Gemara at the bottom. Let's have a little look in the Gemara at the bottom, where we're going to see that in fact it's a Machlokes. The Machlokes actually pops up in the context, if you will remember, when at the inauguration of the Mishkan, there was a particular korban that was burnt and not eaten. the day of the inauguration of the Mishkan, when Aaron HaKohen became for the first time a Kohen, and his two children passed away, Nadab and Abihu, and there was a particular korban that something went wrong with it, and it was burnt and not eaten. And there was some whole discussion and some criticism, why didn't you eat it? And there's a whole discussion in the Gemara of what actually was the reason they didn't eat the korban. Why did they burn it? Why was Moshe Rabbeinu angry with them for not eating it, etc., etc.? And there's a whole lot of perusim in the Gemara, but one of them is as follows. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is a tumor in Israel. This korban was burned due to some problem with tumor. And they come to disagree with another possible understanding. There's a different understanding. Perhaps it was burned because the Kohanim, who were available to eat it, were oynanim. They were on the first day of Ramesh, because none of the Rabbi had passed away. And therefore they couldn't eat it. So this was Omer, Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, they said, no, that's not the reason. One shouldn't think that the reason was because of Amina. The reason was because of Tumah. Something happened, they became. They became Tumah, the problem became Tumah, there was some problem of Tumah. One shouldn't think in any way that the problem was Amina, that the Kohanim available to eat it were Amina, and that's why it couldn't be. That wasn't the reason. And why wasn't that the reason? There's a few folks put down the more why it couldn't be the reason. But the final one, let's just look at the end of this quote from the Gemara of the last two words. Dovar Ahir, you know why it can't be because of Aminus? Say Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, because Bahaloi Pinchas Hoya in Mohim. There was somebody else around who wasn't an Oinim. Who becomes an Oinim? Only the very close friend. So a lot of Aminus passed away. So they have brought to the brothers, Elazar and Solomon, and the father, Aaron HaKohen, they are Oinim. But if they had a nephew, the nephew is not an Oinim. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon Taida, it can't be because of Aminus. Because if it's because of Aminus, so there's a little Kohen who can eat it, so a little Kohen won't eat it, the little Kohen will eat the carbon, physicals will eat the carbon, and by some other means. Now, this opinion, this Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, they clearly hold that Pinchas was already a Kohen. If he wasn't a Kohen, then there's nothing to talk about. You can't come with a taina that Pinchas should have eaten it, so it can't be because of Aminus, but it's not a Kohen yet. So this Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, they disagree with the opinion brought in Rashi that Pinchas was not yet a Kohen until this episode here with Zinni. They hold that Pinchas was a Kohen right away. And in fact, the Gemara there clearly makes it an apologist to Zinman Zahmrim. The Gemara makes the Keshbun that this Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, they hold him as a Kohen right away and puts it as an apologist with a Zinman Zahmrim who holds that Pinchas didn't become a Kohen until here.
What does right away mean? Born,
I don't think born. No, at the same time that Aaron HaKohen and Lodom and Abir and Lodom and Yisabel became Kohen, so he also became a Kohen. He was also anointed. Right. So, having said that, according to this opinion of Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, we have to have a fresh look at our post. The Hoysa Loy and the Zare Acharov, Beris Kuhuna Oyot. Now, why does the control when you can promise him Kuhuna? If he's already a Kohen. He wasn't a Kohen, so very good. That's the great Mashkova that brought the game over here. He's become the Kohen. But he was already a Kohen, according to them.
Maybe
he's a word
Kohen,
he's
a keyword. He's a word
Kohen.
So
you are a Kohen.
That guarantees that you
have the
sense
to
remain Kohen.
Could be. Why shouldn't they remain Kohen? Maybe they'll do something to pop them like Kohen or become Kohen.
Or
like, why shouldn't they
remain?
Doesn't have children. So he guarantees they'll have children. I'd like to share an understanding that I thought in one of the comments of the Rishonim al Torah. There's a parish called the Rival, which I think is from one of the Bali posters. There's the following thing: Henry Moshe Loy is Briti Shalom. I'm giving him this Brit Lepi. Shekapod Nagoyal Ubadav. At this event, at this point in time, Pinchas has, as we say, blood on his hand. He's killed Zimri. And he's become one who has killed the Kohen Shohar against the Nefesh. And the halacha is that a Kohen who has killed somebody, Loi Yisra et Kapo, is not permitted to do Birkat Kohanim. Why are they Yori? So Pinchas, at this point in time, was now bothered. He was concerned. Shemo Yachdi to not Kohen. Yes, he was already a Kohen. He was concerned that maybe he had done something to lose his Kohen.
But Lachat,
this is a key in the Shem Shemayim. Oh, so then, yes. Yeah. So we'll come exactly to this. Lachat, not the Lord, it's written in Shalom. Therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu has to promise him this Brit Shalom. So, the Chiddush was not that he became a Kohen, he was already a Kohen, it follows this revolt after that for the opinion of the Rehoboth of Shem, the whole thing was already a Kohen. I wanted the great promise. The great promise was that there was a concern that maybe he's lost his Kohen due to the action of killing Zimri, maybe he's lost the Kohen. That's the Chiddush. Because Rome promises that you haven't lost your Kohen. It's not an interesting thing, it's not on the paper, but
it's not really that. You lose the
kahuna,
you're
not
the
right
to do
kahuna. Oh, well, we'll look at that a little bit more in the end. Is it a general thing in the entire kahuna, entire apoyna, or is it a thing simply in Birkat Peri? We'll look at that in a minute. But just before that, the sweet nakuda I saw brought down, although we're not so wrong to look in the paper as though I published, but I saw quoted that the Zohar asked the exact same question. Zohar asked this question. And what do we need to give him the promise of Kohen? He's already a Kohen. And it answers the same answer. This is what is written here in this Pirush Rivah. The Zohar asks this question. And the Zohar gives this answer. He's already a Kohen. Answers the Zohar that the promise is that he shouldn't lose the Kohen because having killed him. Now who is the author of the Zohar? Shimbayabai. So, this piece of Zohar fits in beautifully with the opinion of Rav Shimon in the Gemara. Exactly what we call Rav Shimon the Shitosek. Rav Shimon, he was the one who held in the Gemara that he was already a Kohen. It was Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda who held in Zohar that he was already a Kohen. So Rav Shimon the Shitosek in the Zohar asked this question and gives the same answer. So Rav Shimon fits in beautifully the Shitosek. So let's just take the opportunity to look a little at some of the halachos which relate to this scenario of a Kohen Shaharig and Tanefesh, and then we'll come back a little further to discuss a drop regarding Pinchas himself. So the source of this being that a Kohen Shaharig and Tanefesh cannot do for is the Gemara. Gemara is dropped itself out of the base, other than Yerushalayim, Kohen Shaharig and Tanefesh, Lord Yitzhak is Kabul. Sheneva, as is written in the Novi, sort of criticism of Am Yisrael, we're going to read it in one of our periods in the coming week. Yedeshem Zonim Belay, which probably criticizes Am Yisrael, well, your hands are full of blood. So if your hands are full of blood, then don't come to serve me and perform mitzvahs with your hands. So that's why I coach Harik and Panekish, and this first opinion. So that's the Gemara. The Kohen Shaharig and Tanefesh lo yitzeh tahor. Now let's look at the various opinions in Shulchan Aruch and we'll see this question discussed. So the Shulchan Aruch himself writes, recording this halakha, Kohen Shaharig and Tanefesh, Akhidu Vishayi. Even if it was an attribute, lo yitzeh tahor. Akhidu Asher Shuva. He shouldn't talk him. Very far down the line. A, even if he was the shaykh, and B, even if he's very unsure, tell us. But now that's the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. And the Ramah is a little more makeup, and the Ramah says to Yesh Emun, think of the Shuba, Moise Kapo. Then if he has done Shuba, then Moise Kapo, then indeed he can do Birkat Kohanim. So Yesh Lahokin al Vali Shuba. One should make a point of making it easy for those who do Shuba. Shalom Yinna Zalek Bibneh, not to close the door in their face, so to speak. In other words, were we to say, like the stringent opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, that even after you've done Shuba, you still can't do them. So the man is not going to do Shuba. Like, you know, it doesn't help me anyway. So you just won't bother.
It's interesting that from the
Right, without any proof of the details, which should be so mean, there's a certain degree of callousness, a certain level of responsibility, sort of to the exclusion of, let's say, oinus mash, where, just whatever the story could be, something where indeed the person was being fully careful and responsible and something completely comes in his way that wasn't avoidable, that the gummery of oinus, that's a level below. Surely it does involve a certain level of carelessness, although it's not perfect, but sort of in, it's a sort of in between that range, it's not oinus.
Surprising analogy, no? Could we say if someone is tied up with a 15, even though he does it by
Now the explanation of the opinion of Shulchan Aruch, who holds that even if he did tshuva, there is no, he is still disqualified from Birkat Kohanim. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Tam Deo Hu, the reason of this opinion, this Virulei, the Afal Tishay, the Kodobo Shay, with Bifnei Tshuva, I have resolved me, normally we find that nothing stands in the way of tshuva. So what changed over here? Tshuva is tshuva. Yeah. The opposite question of what was asked before. Mishmura asked for a question that tshuva is tshuva, so what's the pshat of the Makabu? So stringent, the Shulchan so stringent and said that even if you did tshuva, you shouldn't allow you to do Birkat Kohanim. Because Mokhaim ain't Hatayir Nathas Aneber. Then we run into another principle that something which is a Hatayir and a tshuva cannot become the defense. To be alive, Eilu Shaharek and Tamefesh, Eilu Yisrael Tapo. These hands that killed somebody cannot be used for Birkat Kohanim, but Afal Pi Shah also. That's the opinion of the Eilu.
But careful, get any talk about Birkat Kohanim.
It's a particular thing.
You know.
Yes.
We
don't
talk
to
you about the
hands
of the question.
The guy
kicked him
into the
foot,
killed him. Can't do it. Yeah, the half of the belief.
I don't know if you were saying specifically the hand that they got something more. So.
Yeah, I think it's like a
general.
It's an actual conceptual.
A conceptual.
Yeah. In fact, we'll see it. We'll see it expressed in the next halacha. The next case which we're talking about is one about Chalila Zochat Isha Har. Somebody who pushes a pregnant lady. They appeal on her, and due to this action, she miscarried. He pushed her. It doesn't say you have to be left with a hand. But in this case, Moise is tackled. Although it's a terrible affair, but Moise is tackled. It doesn't tackle with the Birkat Kohanim. The Ein Chayov in Mitzah al Ubrin. This type of.
It's more of a dharmi, you know?
Yeah, it's not the same level as killing a full mefesh, and it is an appeal of Mitzah. Since it is an appeal of Mitzah, it doesn't disqualify the Birkat Kohanim. Let's just go to first the opinion of the Rambam. Yesh Oimrim, the Rambam said that if you did Tshuva, we allow him back in. Hayu Afilu Kishav Rambamim. The Rambam's opinion goes as far as saying that even if he was, remember, say, one killed on purpose, with knowledge, if he does Tshuva, we let him back in. That's the opinion of the Rambam. The Hoki knows that says the Rambam, this is the opinion, this is the Minak, but Yesh Eza Akhreidish Machmir Matzal Pali Vamim. Says Mishnah Berurah, the Alkal Akhreidim, who take a sort of middle position here. And they say, well, if he did Tshuva from being a Ritzah for Shoigeg, well, they're back in. But if he was a Ritzah for Mazes, then maybe even with Tshuva, we're not going to let him do the Kurt Kreid. Now let's come to the final point before bring us back to Pinchas. Mol Tinek Umeh. If he did Mila on a child Umeh, then everybody is in agreement. Even the Shulchan Aruch was both Christians and said that if it was even the Shaykh, you don't let him do Birkat Kohanim. Well, tell it okay, then we definitely don't disqualify him from Birkat Kohanim. Why? For the first reason, the Ichat and the Shaykh. Because his intent was for a mitzvah. So, how much more so the case of Pinchas, not only like I mean, his intent was for a mitzvah, and unfortunately on the side, a terrible tragedy happened. Pinchas is much greater. Here, the mitzvah is to go ahead and kill it. So, with this killing, with the key of mitzvah, most certainly we understand that he doesn't lose his tool. But I saw a little disgust on today's task. The question is so far, why, indeed, why does there even need to be a sort of special promise that he shouldn't lose his tool? It should be obvious. What should be the start from doing such a mitzvah, one should lose the tool? The mice that he killed. So you could maybe still hear that.
It's the same thing with your day and your day and your day.
The bottom line is day and your day. We see this. It's so, it goes so distant that even if he did Shuba, etc., there's a sovereignty, so we don't let him back in. So maybe you could have heard this sovereign over here as well. Come on, come on. That's the Jewish of the Possum. Yeah, killing a boy is a different discussion. I will say with blanket that it doesn't have. Needs to be discussed separately, that's true.
So the category
argument
doesn't
hold
for
a
killing
into the mitzvah? Yeah, and I think we can understand why. How can one say in katego, not in panego, if the killing would be killing the mitzvah? That's not in katego. there are occasions when the Torah is machayim to kill somebody. You know, like Chalila, would we say that somebody who was on a Beis Din and killed somebody, would say that he can take it out of the Sadeh, or that's the mitzvah. But let's just conclude with looking at this other point that was brought up. Is this a specific thing in Birkat Kohen, or does this apply to Avodah in general? So there is a Mishnah in Bechorah which discusses various mumim. We know there's a concept of mum which puzzles a Kohen for Avodah, and there's a concept of mum which can puzzle a behemoth for a korban, etc. So the Mishnah says, "Eilu shayin ba'ol." The following types of mumim that we're going to list do not puzzle a Kohen, shayin ba'ol, upsulim b'behemoth, and do puzzle a behemoth for a korban. So they're not a mum as regards a person, and they are a mum as regards an animal. And it makes a little list, etc., etc., etc. The last thing on the line. But Shehemis et ha'odol. And one who has killed a person. So one who has killed a person, regarding a behemoth, it's a mum. Take such a behemoth which has killed a person and use it for a korban, it's disqualified, it's called a mum. But in the words of the Mishnah, it does not disqualify a person. An animal which killed a person becomes disqualified as a korban. But a person who killed a person, the words of the Mishnah, it doesn't become disqualified. So the Torah, from this Mishnah, seems pretty open that what we learn about in the Gemara in Brussels, that Kodesh Haraget HaNemesh doesn't do Birkat Kohanim, is specifically a point in Birkat Kohanim, not in Avodah in general. Now the point is Yosef over there says as follows: Uva Lusas Akir, the first Rosh Hashanah, Lusas Akir, in a different version of this Mishnah, in a different text, which I have, like an old Ksav Yad or something, an old manuscript of different lots of the Mishnah, Loi Garcino. This particular one on the list, Vishahemis et Ta'adon, one who has killed a person is not on the list. It is, says the Tosfos Yosef, in a different version of the Mishnah than I have, in an old manuscript, is not written on the list. This one, Shehemis et Ta'adon, as being a distinction between an animal and a person. But actually, you know why? Mishimahod, the fate of the case, is Robert, that love is based. Because if the Gemara in Robert, that love is based, I'm a reviewer, don't call Koyach, I'm a reviewer, 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 I'm a And that is the point of machlokes between these two versions of the Mishnah. The version we have clearly holds that it doesn't apply to Avodah. And the Sanyas, the Yogi quote, holds that the same din applies to Avodah as well. And the Torah, we can also see that in fact it's machlokes Rishon. Rabbi Kiva Eger says to a Tosfos in Yevamos who says clearly that it's a special thing in Birkat Kohanim, it doesn't apply to Avodah. But the Pirush HaHatera that we started with, the Rival, when he says the Kiddush of Pinchas, his implication is that due to the fact that he killed a person, there would have been a Havamina, that he's going to lose his entire Kuhuna. It doesn't seem that Pinchas was just worried that he's going to lose the right to Birkat Kohanim. The implication of the Rival was that he was concerned Shemo Yapsis Kuhunasa, that he might lose his entire Kuhuna. But it sounds like the Rival holds with that opinion that a Kohen Shahar against HaNefesh, not only does he lose the right to do Birkat Kohanim, but he also loses the right to the entire Avodah. Now J.K. Tosfos in Yevamos and the other Jews in the Mishnah hold that it's only a din in Birkat Kohanim, not a din in general, still for Avodah altogether. Okay, we'll stop it for today.